I don't know about you, but I found that to be an incredibly inspiring video, a video that made me think about how good I've got it, and also how I can take the opportunity to express joy regardless of my situation. Well, I wonder if you did have your coffee this morning. How many of you had a coffee today? You did? Sometimes that helps with the joy, get you going. It's a good thing. So, just pointing out a few things about the video. Jonathan Eads is his name, and he talked about joy in any situation. And I liked what he said because it really relates to our theme, allowing Christ to live in us, asking for more of his presence, asking for more of his power in our lives. And joy comes from having Christ live within. It comes also from choosing your thoughts and looking for a Christian perspective. And he talked about rising up. And I'm going to be talking this morning also about pursuing goals and all those sorts of things. So there's lots of ways that we can have more joy in our lives. And he really exemplifies the theme for these 6 weeks, asking Christ to increase his presence in us and his power in us. He also shows to me that being a Christian doesn't mean that you're free from problems. Being rooted in Christ doesn't mean that you won't have difficulties, but it does mean that, like a tree that has deep roots, that when the storms come, when the droughts come, that you'll weather the storms and the drought better. So we want to have deep roots. We want to be in Christ. We want to know his word. We want to have his power in our lives. And we want to have the joy that comes from him living in us. Do you ever notice that some people seem to be happy no matter what? A little bit annoying, isn't it? And some people are grumpy no matter what. You think, gee whiz, how many things can I do for you? And you never cheer up. Well, actually, happiness is partly genetic. There is a set point, researchers say, that we come with a certain amount of happiness that's come to us from our parents. But not as much as you'd think. 10% of our happiness or our joy comes from circumstances. So that's pretty interesting. That's why, to me, Jonathan Eads is such a powerful example, that his joy was high despite his circumstance. And then there is that leftover percentage that we can do something about, that we can increase our joy. So if you're here today and you thought, you know what, it just is what it is, you feel what you feel, there's nothing I can do about it, I want to give you some good news. There is a lot that you can do to increase your sense of joy in Christ. So what is joy? Some people make a distinction between happiness and joy, and I might use happiness or joy interchangeably in this sermon, but I'm referring to the kind of joy that stays with you regardless of your circumstance. I like to make the distinction between passive and active. Happiness is about something passive. It's what happens to you, your circumstances or how you might feel that day. It just kind of comes along, and that's the way the wind blows you. That's how you feel. It's passive. And joy, to me, is active. It is something that you can change, and it's something that you make happen in your life. So joy is something that you choose. Last week, we heard about gratitude, and I want to ask you how many of you posted the little scripture for the week. Did you put up any sticky notes? How many of you took the journal with you someplace different? Anybody? One or two hands? I want to encourage you that if you want to have joy in your life, gratitude is a big step. Gratitude is huge in increasing your joy. And if you think it's just a simple exercise, and it's kind of maybe like chicken soup for the golfer's left foot, or whatever book they've got going lately, there's always a new book on, and I always think, oh, they've got a nice little short tearjerker chapter. But gratitude is not a gimmick. Gratitude is not just something little that we do. Gratitude is an attitude of the heart that totally can revolutionize your life. So if you maybe filed away the sermon notes for last week, I want to encourage you to pull them out and look at the journal. Look at gratitude. It is foundational in joy. I want to also say happiness is not just for heaven. Joy is not just for heaven. And in my personal life, I think I've become a Christian over and over and over. I don't know if you do that. There's times when I go, oh my goodness, I really need God in my life. I want him to rule me. I want him to give me his strength. and I come to a new sense of a need for him because of a problem, or maybe just because things feel kind of dull. And when I do that, I come to a new realization of how much I have in Christ, how much he has done for me. Sometimes I look at someone, I met someone this week who told me her story of recently going through a divorce. She has a four-year-old, and Christians can get divorced. There can be problems in anybody's life. But as she talked, I just thought, you know, she didn't have that sense of Jesus within her. And it made me think, I'm so glad I have Christ with me. He gives me strength to face the problems that I have. And so I come to points in my life where I kind of say, Lord, I do want to serve you again. I want to follow you wholeheartedly. And it's those times that I realize the joy that he gives me. I also know that joy is part of salvation. Salvation is this idea of wholeness. It doesn't just affect heaven, where we're going to spend eternity. It affects our health, our finances, our relationships. Salvation includes the here and now. And if you've become a Christian just because of what's going to happen after you die, you're missing out on a lot of good stuff. Because Christ living in you now has a huge impact. You can lean on his power. You can have his strength in your life. And to me, that is something not that we just do once, but that we do on an ongoing basis. It's not something we figure out once and then we leave it. It's something that we keep asking God for. God, give me health. Help me in my relationships. Give me your wisdom. And give me joy. That's one of those things that I really believe should be in our life because we're a Christian. I believe joy is one of the attributes of God. And it can be part of our Christian experience as well. The joy of the Lord is not an extra thing. It is our very strength. That's what the Bible says. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So let us take joy seriously. First, I want to say that to be joyful, we get power from Christ by learning to think more like Jesus. And we do that by spending time with him. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? When you're faced with a discouraging situation, do you get joy from God? It's a question I've asked myself. Do I get joy from God? I might go to his word and figure out maybe some steps or look for some examples of other Christians whose stories are recorded there. I might look for wisdom in the Proverbs. But do I look for joy? I want to encourage you to look for joy in your Christian walk. Here's how the Apostle Paul described life for people who follow God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking or rules and regulations about eating and drinking or other things, but it's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I think sometimes we get those things mixed up. I think we are about rules. I think sometimes we think it's about getting it right, that it's about doing it perfectly. We might have become a Christian because of God's grace, but boy, once we're a Christian, we kind of set things up with a lot of expectations on ourselves. But actually, the whole point of the kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy. Really amazing stuff of the heart. Not about the externals. Jesus gave us the key to joy when he said this, I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. And I'm sorry, I did skip a scripture there, Mimi. You're so good. I took a scripture out of there as I had lots of information. So Jesus gave us the key to joy when he said, I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So he talked about remaining in his love as being a key to joy. Remaining in his love is something that we can do. It's like a gift that is offered. I might give you a gift, and your response is you reach out and you take it. It's two sides. So it is with remaining in the love of God. The winds of grace are always blowing, but you have to raise the sail. Some ways to abide in Christ or to remain in his love or to dwell in his presence are these. You might read the Bible to affect your thinking. Understanding the priorities that Jesus talked about. Having the right priorities in your life is one of the ways that you will have more joy in your life. You might also read the Bible to hear the wisdom that applies to your situation. And that's why the Increase Journal has all of these scriptures to meditate on, to find out how it applies to us. You would also read the Bible to affect your thinking by looking at the example of Jesus. Like a mentor that you want to learn from, you spend time with that person. You start to take on their way of thinking. That's what it means to abide in Christ. And you might also talk with God and listen for his still small voice inside of you. And you would take problems as an opportunity to be closer to Christ and look to Christ for his perspective and his way of thinking and ask, God, will you increase your strength and power in me? I brought my Bible this morning because there is a section in the back that I have keep adding little notes from different mentors that I've had in my life. And one of the points that I have in here is a prayer that I have prayed. I say, God, I have something to talk to you about. What is disturbing me is a gift to bring you closer, bring me closer to you. Do we view our problems that way? I personally have learned to look at the problems in my life as a gift to bring me closer to him. And when I look at his word and read what's in there, I take it as a new way of thinking. I want to learn God's way of thinking. I want to abide in Christ and let his thinking and his way of thinking influence me. I believe that Christ living in us affects our perspective and it affects our thoughts. Have you ever been discouraged about a problem over hours or days and then suddenly realized, oh, I could pray about this? You kind of go, oh, you know, should have had a V8. You realize, hey, I could have prayed about this a long time ago. And then when you pray and you talk to God, you get this glimpse of a different perspective. That doesn't always happen, but often it does, where you get maybe a sense of relief or a sense of joy or even just a sense that someone knows about what is going on for you. And when we talk to God, when we bring the word and read the word with a prayerful attitude, we can be influenced in our way of thinking, and our problems can indeed make us closer to God. There are some obstacles to joy. I want to talk about a few of those. There are obstacles in our thinking, and here's a few. Ironically, one of the obstacles to real joy is the pressure to feel and look happy all of the time. If you think that being a Christian means that you have to always be happy, you will be depressed. I guarantee it. God created all of our emotions, joy and sadness and grief, and we can't have joy without sadness. It's like saying, say yes to my question. Don't say no, say yes. Now here's the question. Do you like X, Y, and Z? And you answer, yes. Did I get an honest answer from you? I already told you to say yes. I told you what to say. And sometimes we do that in the way that we interact with God. We allow ourselves to express one thing, but we don't allow ourselves to express another thing. If you're not being honest with God, then, or honest with your other people around you, there's a part of you that's shut off, and then your sense of joy will also be shut off. You cannot selectively numb your emotions. You can't say, I'm allowed to feel happy, and I'm not allowed to feel sad. What will end up happening is all of your emotions will be suppressed, and you will be depressed. I believe that we can increase the joy in our lives, but we don't do that by ruling out the negative emotions. Another obstacle to joy might be a lack of assertiveness or a fear of confronting something. And I've seen this happen. Sometimes you can have something bothering you, and it may not be in the forefront of your mind, but it's something in your life that you want to confront or that is bothering you, that is causing anxiety for you. And because you're so afraid of confronting it, you just remain discouraged. You remain frustrated. And that lack of assertiveness or that fear of confronting can actually lead to depression. And I know that some of the nicest people, in fact, more reading that I've done indicates that often it's really nice people who have anxiety. And anxiety and depression can be two sides of the same coin. One can cause the other. And so if there's something in your life that you really think you have to address, suppressing it and holding it back will not bring you joy. What will bring you joy is addressing it, doing some research on how you might figure out how to confront it and get some resources, and then address this problem. If it's a person you need to confront or a job you need to change or something, do that. Take the action. Be proactive in your joy. You might be frustrated in the confrontation period, but your joy afterwards will go up. Another obstacle to depression, joy, may be actually clinical depression. And maybe there's some family history, maybe there are can be lack of nutrition, there can be a whole number of reasons why people don't have joy in their life. And sometimes as Christians, I think we tend to categorize. We think that if you're a Christian, it's all good. You're not going to have any problems. But you know, I notice a lot of you have had some colds over the last while. A few of you get sick sometimes. You get the flu. And a lot of you wear glasses. We have some physical problems, don't we? Well, you know what? Depression that requires medication might be in that same category. If you need medication for the common cold or for a headache, there's nothing wrong with taking it for depression as well. Another obstacle to joy is viewing our problems from a certain perspective. So the way we view problems is actually key to how happy we feel on the inside. We can view our problems as permanent, pervasive, or personal. So if you're taking notes and you want to get those down, I'll try to slow down here. But if something bad happens, I want to ask you this. What do you, I'll repeat the words in a second, but if something bad happens, what do you think right after it happens? If you think it's permanent, you think this will never change. However, if you think it's transient, this too shall pass. I think you're going to have more joy. So if you view your problems as permanent, you're going to have less joy. Okay? If you view your problems as transient, you're going to have more joy. So how do you view your problems? Secondly, do you view your problems as personal? So is it my fault when something happens? This problem is my fault. I guess I caused this. Or do you say, this is situational? It's the situation. Well, that's just what happened for that particular set of events. Thirdly, do you view your problem as pervasive? Nothing ever goes right. Is that what crosses your mind when you're having a problem? Or do you view it as specific? In this case, things did not go so well. So you can view your problems as permanent, personal, or pervasive. Or you can view your problems as transient, situational, and specific. And if you do the latter, you will have more joy. I'm not saying that you wouldn't take responsibility for what you want to change in your life, but think about how you view problems when you have them. I want to give you an example of this. My mother-in-law and I, we have both broken dishes over the last number of years at one another's houses, and I didn't ask Meg's permission to say this, but she's good. I have broken a dish at her house. And when I did, I thought, oh, what an idiot I am. Now, recently, I wouldn't say that she was the actual person who broke the dish at my house, but a dish happened, a dish broke under her care. And do you know what she said? She said, the gremlins are here. And then she went on quite jolly with her day. And I thought, now that's a perfect example of why she has joy in her life. There's a situation that she said, ah, the little gremlins are in here. She didn't do it. Huh. When I was at her house, I thought I broke the plate. Actually, maybe the gremlins did that too. And how we look at our problems totally affects our joy. These are things that we can teach our children, things that we can talk to them about. Particularly if you know they have a tendency. It's also a way to prevent future problems. If you talk to them early about how they view what's going on, it'll help them for later on when they have other problems that are unexpected. So we can choose to be optimistic and not just kind of Pollyanna, pie in the sky, positive, but positive with a sense of faith as well. I really believe that as a Christian, God's plan for me is to have joy. And so the way I view a situation is also to ask him to come into the situation and to give me a sense of joy and faith about my situation. To be joyful, we need to think well. We need to think more like Jesus. I want to know when I'm having a problem and how I'm thinking about it. I ask this question, is this way of thinking leading me closer to Christ or further away. I might also ask, is this a perspective of faith? The Bible says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. It also says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Research has shown that mental practice, things like gratitude and other things I'll talk about later, actually produce physical changes in your brain. Science has shown that Scripture is right. You can transform your life by changing the way you think. You can renew your mind. A healthy thought and a negative thought can both be built with mental rehearsal, and that's why meditating on God's Word is so important to build healthy thoughts. So put Jesus in charge of your thoughts. Ask Him for His input. And when you have a recurring negative theme, ask yourself, does this line up with Scripture? Does this line up with what God promised for me? And change your negative thoughts with Scriptures like, my grace is sufficient for you. God who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. So faith-based emotions would be love, joy, forgiveness. And renewing the mind is an ongoing process. And what you think about expands and grows. So focus on the good stuff. There's that scripture, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Do you know those things, you will notice them more in your life, and you will have more of them in your life when you focus on them. So you can't tell yourself to have different feelings, but you can tell yourself to have different thoughts, and then your feelings will change as a result. So know your thoughts and change them. Secondly, to be joyful, we need to be pursuing goals. Aristotle said, happiness is a state of activity. If you want to have joy, get up and get going. Pursue goals. It doesn't matter what your situation is financially. It doesn't matter your abilities or your disabilities. It doesn't matter about your past, your family, or whatever you look at as a negative in your life. As long as you are living, God has a purpose for you, and that means you should have goals. And those are goals that you can pick. He didn't make us robots. He gave us choice. We get to pick goals. We get to build whatever life we want. So if you have a problem with feeling discouraged, make goals and do things. Be active. My first job was working in a nursing home, and I used to turn patients and give them personal care. And I have seen a lot of bed sores from people who stayed in bed. And it's not a pretty sight. People who stay in bed all day get bed sores. And if we do not get up and get moving, we also don't have as much health in our life. Movement is part of life. The Bible says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. It also says, whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly as though you were doing it for the Lord and not merely for people. And I like this scripture. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. When we fulfill our dreams, when we set goals and achieve them, that brings life to us. And that's the way God intended for us to live. So this relates to the Christian life in so many ways. I hope you're getting the message that we don't have to be passive about our state. We can take action. And I really like when theology and psychology mix. That's my area of true joy and true love, what I like to learn about. I have a degree in psychology and a degree in theology. And when the two of them line up, I go, yes, I love this. And one of the things that's happening right now, I have a brother who's a psychologist, and we get talking about lots of the research or whatever, and I've done my own reading, but there's new research out and a new kind of stream or emphasis in psychology called positive psychology. A person by the name of Martin Seligman, and he's a researcher of positive psychology, and he decided to research why some lives go well. He decided that he appreciated the focus of psychology on some of the serious illnesses, people with very difficult lives, and how psychology has really helped them. But he said there tends to be kind of a pathological emphasis that psychologists maybe are spending a lot of their energy, and a lot of the research is being funded for more negative focus. He says it has value for sure, but he brings this point out, which I think is excellent. He says, we need to figure out how to help the everyday person, the people like us in the room, who are basically functioning and doing okay, how to have more joy. And he comes up with a whole bunch of stuff that's all from Scripture, but he doesn't necessarily know that. So if you want to do some interesting reading, look up Positive Psychology in Martin Seligman. And he says, happiness comes in three forms. He talks about the pleasant life, which is pursuing pure pleasure. Things that you see in the movies a lot, and you see the glamorous lifestyle, and you see the way that there's fast cars and lots of women, or whatever comes to mind for you, pursuing pure pleasure. And that's not always wrong to pursue pleasure. I enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning or sitting on my deck or whatever is pleasurable in your life. Pleasure is not wrong, but it's one way only of pursuing pleasure. And if that's the only way that you have joy in your life, it actually is quite shallow and not very long-lasting. The second way to get, so the first is the pleasant life from pleasure. And the second is the good life. And he talks about adding to just having pleasure, the idea of using your signature strengths. And he says, when you figure out what your signature strengths are and you use them, you will have joy. And so, number one, the pleasant life. Number two, the good life with signature strengths. And he calls that engagement, when you are engaged. And he, you know, there's this idea of flow. When you forget about time because you're so engaged in your work. And when you were done, when you're done, whatever project you're working on, you know, the time has flown and you go, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how much time's gone by, but I was really enjoying that. But you weren't actually thinking about it. You were in flow, they call that. So that's a sense of engagement. And that is a very important key to having joy in your life. And the third thing he talks about is a meaningful life. And that's where you take those first two, the pleasure and using your strengths. And then he says you are involved in helping the world. You are making the world a better place. You are involved in a pursuit that is greater than yourself. Well, this is exactly the kind of stuff that Jesus was talking about, was giving your life for other people. Well, isn't it interesting that here a Christian principle is that when you give, it's given back to you, and you actually get more in your life by giving out. And so the meaningful life has this idea of meaningful engagement. So getting to neutral or the absence of depression is not the same as getting to joy. We want to get the needle to go beyond neutral. So it comes through meaningful engagement, using your strengths for a greater purpose. You need to have goals and be pursuing them. So one of the obstacles to joy here is not knowing what your strengths are. It's not enough to pursue goals. They should be goals that fit your strengths. We need to be soaring with our strengths rather than getting burnt out by working in our weaknesses. Do you want to know what a strength is? A strength has the following signs. S-I-G-N. If it's a strength for you, it's S, success. You feel success. You have a sense of instinct about it. I. You do it naturally. And growth. You feel you're drawn to it. You have a sense of flow. You're inquisitive about it. You like to grow in that way. That's the G. And N is the needs. It fulfills a need for you. You feel fulfilled and authentic. So it is success, instinct, growth, and needs. And that's how you know if it's a strength. Joyful people focus on their strengths, not on their weaknesses. You focus on where you want to go, not where you don't want to go. Joyful people focus on improving the lives of others. Joyful people contribute in the context of community. They're involved in something bigger than themselves, and that's why I think it's so amazing. This is all about the Christian life. That is exactly what Jesus commanded us to do. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Another obstacle to joy may be using your strengths in isolation. We all need people to invest in. We need people to invest in us. You need inflow and outflow to be a healthy person. The Bible says in 1 Peter, God has given each one of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Notice the context of community and how that can bring joy. There is no such thing as disconnected and happy. When you are isolated, you will not be happy. So using our strengths in community is very powerful. Do you ever notice that joy adds up and multiplies when we divide it with others? When we are together, we have more joy. So know your gifts and use them. Finally, the last key to joy that I want to talk about this morning is to be present in the moment. So be present in the moment. This sounds like a quaint saying, but it is what Jesus taught. He said this, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Give your attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." Do you notice that? He says, live in today, not in tomorrow. But sometimes that's hard to do. Basically, we need to live in day-tight compartments. We need to do that. One way to do that is by mindfulness, being aware of what is happening right here, right now. This doesn't mean you have to be boring or that you have to lead a slow life or that you're going to be a flower child or something. But to be mindful means you're living right here, right now. You're aware of your surroundings. You can, you know, you feel what you're feeling here. You sense what is happening in the moment. Joyful people live in the moment. Do you notice Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread"? He did not say the prayer, "Give us our weekly bread or monthly or about the bread from yesterday." Can we talk about that? He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." I like the example of Jesus. There's lots of things that you can see in his lifetime. He was never in a hurry. He always lived in the moment. And I like this example because I like to sleep. I need 8 hours of sleep. I'm one of those people that needs a lot of sleep. If I have a lot of sleep, I'm really happy. Well, Jesus was like this, actually, I think. Listen to this story. It says, "Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping." He was sleeping. He was in the moment. He was not worried about the storm. He was enjoying his rest. And he was caring for himself, which is good. He savored every day. He also enjoyed eating. He took the time to feed the multitude and to feed himself. I also wonder, how is it that Jesus could be happy throughout his life rather than dread his crucifixion? I have wondered that many times. Now, if that was me and I knew that was coming, I'd be a little anxious. He seemed to be okay with it. He was going to deal with that when the time came. Well, I think that's a powerful example to us. He was living in reliance on his heavenly Father, and we can do the same. Joyful people don't wait for someday to enjoy life. They live in the moment, they make goals and so on, but they don't wait till the goals are accomplished to be joyful. They don't wait for someday to be happy. They don't wait till you finish school or gotten married or bought a new house or completed the next project or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Joyful today. This is what Henry Cloud said. "It's an old saying, but now science is proving it. Stop and smell the roses is more than a platitude. It is good psychological advice, and right from the mind of God. He created your senses and your ability to enjoy each moment. Go for a walk and notice the beauty of the trees. Look into the face of a child and feel joy in your soul. Experience the warm sun on your skin. And then there is food. Let's just say that God wired you to savor and enjoy life. And as you do, your mood and outlook changes." So Jesus mindfully enjoyed life, and so should we. There are some obstacles to joy I can talk about. One of them is measuring your personal value by your accomplishments. If you measure your value by your accomplishments, you will be living in yesterday with evaluation and regret. And it keeps you living in tomorrow, trying to do more, to be getting more, to be busier, to be more accomplished, to appear better. Instead, we are to live in today. So don't measure your personal value by your accomplishments. Being in the presence of God and receiving your value from your relationship with Him and knowing that He cares for you is very important. He loves you, and that's where the source of your satisfaction comes from. Another obstacle is measuring your value by your net worth or by the appearance of what you own. Jesus said, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Another obstacle is anticipation of future events or evaluation of past events. Joy is in the now. Remember, live in daytight compartments. Live in the present and take your cues from little children. If you want to know how to live in the present, look at a toddler. They can be crying one minute, and then you distract them, and they are happy the next minute because they are right there in the moment. And if you're a worrier, I have a little trick that you can play on yourself, which is very effective. You can make an appointment in your schedule, say Thursday at noon, once a week. Say, next Thursday at noon, I am going to worry. Actually put it on your calendar, and then when you have something that is worrying you, you add it to a list. On Thursday at noon, I'm going to worry about X, Y, and Z. Write it down, set aside your list. And next time you have something to worry about before Thursday, you add it to the list, and you add it, and you add it. And when you get to Thursday, you really do worry about that. You sit down and you go, okay, now, first of all, one thing that's going to happen is you'll have less things to worry about. You go, I don't need to worry about that. Look at the next day, such and such happened. I don't need to worry about that. Some things on that list may still be there, and then you can choose to worry about it. You say, oh, I'm really going to worry about this for a good hour. Think about this. You might also choose to pray about it. And then when the hour is over, you set aside all those worries, and you start the next week. And I challenge you to do this trick. It helps. So if anything I have said this morning has struck a chord for you, then I want to challenge you to pick from a few pieces of homework. I have 5 pieces of homework. And if you've come to church this morning, or you go to church in general, just because it feels nice, which it does, and you enjoy connecting with other people, then that's good. But if you want to bump up your joy, then take some homework home. Do something different in your life. Make a note to yourself and stick it somewhere where you're going to find it. Do you know where I put mine? Right next to, I keep track of my debit. And if I have a to-do thing that I really want to remember in the week, I'll take it from a Sunday and I'll put it right where I'm going to make a note of what, you know, I went to Zayre's and spent $69. I have a note there that says, do such and such. I go, oh, I was going to do that this week. So I don't know if there's something on your person, if it's your iPhone or some way you're going to remember this, but I challenge you to do more than just feel good today in church. Do something different in your life. So here are 5 possibilities. Again, based on research, you can literally create lasting positive change by doing these pieces of homework. Most of them are in 2 minutes or less per day. And if you do it over 21 days, it will increase your joy. Okay, the first one is, we covered it last week, gratitude, okay? What you have to do, though, is you jot down 3 new things to be grateful for every day. So when you're done the first day, you get the really obvious stuff, and the second day you got some obvious stuff, and the third day. Now, I've been doing this for a while, and it's getting really hard. I'm like, oh, okay, I covered that, covered that, covered that. Do you know what it does? It teaches your brain to scan for the positive. And literally, scientists are showing that you will develop different neural pathways in your brain if you will do this. So do it. 3 things to be grateful for every day. The second idea is to journal about 1 positive experience you've had in the past 24 hours. Okay, so you're going to take 2 minutes, and you're going to think about the last 24 hours, and you're going to find that thing that you enjoyed most. Maybe it was just a coffee and the muffin in the car. It was a 5-minute moment, but you're going to jot down in your journal and write that out and think about it and say, that was a really great muffin. Whatever it is, maybe you have a super busy life, and maybe it's hard for you to find something that you really enjoy. But if you look for that and you journal about it, you relive it. And again, it strengthens the positive. So journal about 1 positive experience you've had in the past 24 hours. Exercise. Now, I got to say, if you only take 2 minutes, that's not going to be good enough. This one takes longer. Exercise is a huge thing. You have to treat exercise like it's essential. If you have a problem with discouragement, you have to exercise. Exercise is a big deal. But if you don't choose to pick that, that's okay. There's lots here to pick from. But this is a really good one, exercise. Another thing is meditation or mindfulness. I talked about that. Basically, as a Christian, we can meditate on the scripture. We can read the scripture and we can learn about it. Sometimes when we're really stressed, we actually think, oh, too many thoughts going on. You might actually choose to just have kind of a quiet time and just focus on your breath. Breathe in, breathe out. And there's lots of reading you can do on mindfulness and look at that online. But if you do that for 2 minutes a day, that also will increase your joy. And finally, random acts of kindness. Write 1 positive email praising or thanking someone in your social network. This has shown research that if you thank someone for what they've done for you and you make a habit of doing that and you go over What's the thing you're grateful for? And you let that person know, you will increase your own joy. Plus theirs, I'm sure. So I believe also that there's always joy in worship. I will tell you, for me, worship is something I can always do. I don't always just mean the musical kind. It might include that. But worship is a heart that's looking upward towards God. If you're discouraged, you can worship. If you're confused, you can worship. If you are offended, you can worship. If you feel inadequate, you can worship. If you are worried, you can worship. When you worship, you may feel like a tiny bird, but you have a big song. If you want to be joyful, know your God and live with Him. So I want to conclude this morning by revisiting a little bit of what Jonathan Eades said in the video. When I found that video, I was thrilled because he exemplifies all this stuff. And I'll tell you word for word what he said, so watch it. All the stuff he does to have joy. This is what he said. I'm telling you this not so that you will feel sorry for me or pity me, but I'm telling you this so that you can see how the joy of Christ can exist even within struggles and difficulties. My life is hard at times, and so is your life, I'm sure. Do you remember him saying that? Did you hear that? Then he says this. Notice his thoughts. We can focus on Christ and what he has done. He has done a lot for us. He has saved us and set us apart. I also have joy in my life knowing that the future holds great things for me and that at some point in my life I will walk again, whether that's here on this earth or whether that's in eternity. I have hope in knowing that my soul is secure and I have eternity to look forward to. Wow, those are amazing thoughts. And notice his emphasis on action and pursuing goals. He says, I can also keep my joy by rising up and taking responsibility to be Christ to a lost world and to serve him. He says, I can do that and so can you. I think even someone who's bedridden can still pray and still support people through prayer. One last thought on joy is that it's not based on my circumstances, he said. It's based on the fact that I know that he is God and he is in control. And he said, so my hope for you is that you would be filled with God's joy, for it's his joy that gives me strength day by day. Now, isn't that amazing? I don't know if I could say that if I was him. But let us practice that so that no matter what we have in our lives, we can have joy. I know that we still live in a fallen world with disease and broken relationships and problems, but I do believe that when we follow Christ, we have his joy, joy that comes from Christ living in us. So let us take joy seriously. Henry Nouwen said, joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. Will you pray with me? Lord, today I pray for those people today who are discouraged. Or Lord, even those who feel a little numb, or maybe feeling disconnected. God, we ask that you would bring more joy into these lives. Joy that comes from you living inside of us. God, I ask that you would give us your joy so that we can be strong. Increase Christ living in us. Help us to think your thoughts. Help us to renew our mind by meditating on your word. Help us to turn our thoughts to you. And give us optimism that comes from faith. Help us to listen to your voice. Lord, I pray that we would be better stewards of our gifts or caretakers of our gifts. We want to pursue goals that fit our strengths and contribute to the lives of others as you commanded us to do. Help us to live one day at a time. You provide for me daily, Lord. I choose joy. Amen.